If we're going to practice evidence-driven instructional leadership, we've got to understand fundamentally what teacher practice is. And as Charlotte Danielson would say, teaching is cognitive work. If we think about it like an iceberg, you know, an iceberg is about 10% visible above the surface, but fully 90% of an iceberg is hidden beneath the surface. And I want to suggest to you, by way of metaphor, that the same is true of teacher practice. When it comes to what really matters in teacher practice, about 90% of it is hidden beneath the surface. But if we look at the kind of ways of thinking, the kind of metaphors that we normally use when it comes to instructional leadership, we treat teacher practice as if it was much more like an athletic performance, like playing in a baseball game, right? And I think some of this has to do with the fact that historically, many administrators have been athletic coaches and have a lot of experience working with students to help them improve their grip on the bat and their swing and their stance and all of the different mechanics that go into being a baseball player. We take that same mindset and that same metaphor into our work as instructional leaders, but I think it would be a mistake to cast teaching practice as a direct parallel to athletics, right? And if we kind of divide this into behavior and thinking, most of the feedback that teachers get in our profession focuses on the visible behaviors of their teaching. And if we want to be evidence-driven, that would appear to make sense, right? If we can, if we want to provide feedback on what we actually saw, doesn't that align with an evidence-driven philosophy? Yes, to some extent. And there is some value in helping teachers improve those mechanics, those visible behaviors. But I think we have to be careful because too often what we're really doing is we're second-guessing something that's already over and we're missing the bigger opportunity, which is to help teachers sharpen their thinking. So I don't think athletics or baseball or sports is the best metaphor for thinking about teacher practice. I think a closer metaphor is chess. And chess is almost entirely a game of strategy, right? There are no real mechanics, you know, there are no sports medicine experts in chess, right? It's almost entirely a cognitive game. You can play it on a computer. You don't actually even need a chessboard. It's entirely a mental and cognitive and intellectual game. And I don't think that's a perfect metaphor either. I don't think teaching is 100% cognitive, but I think it's better. I think it's closer to the reality of teacher practice. And if we're going to improve teacher practice, we would do better as instructional leaders to think about it in terms of more on the cognitive side, more like chess than baseball. So we do have some aspects that we see. You know, if you observe a chess match, I think this is where the metaphor isn't quite perfect. If you observe a chess match, you really don't know what's going on in the player's head. And we have a slight advantage there in the actual teaching profession. We actually can see some things. We actually can gather firsthand evidence, and that's very useful as an entry point into an evidence-based feedback conversation. It gives us something to talk about and to make sense of, but we have to remember that what we're seeing, if we're observing in a classroom or if we're looking at artifacts in a virtual instruction context, what we are seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. It is not where the heart of practice lies and where the opportunity for improvement truly lies. So let's get into this iceberg metaphor a little bit. I want to plot this on two different dimensions. And vertically in the diagram here, I have visibility mapped out on the vertical axis. If we see a behavior directly, if we see the teacher, you know, giving a signal to get the class's attention or explaining a concept or responding to a disruption, there are those aspects that are directly visible by an observer. And sometimes those same aspects would be equally visible on video. And of course, if we can get into classrooms in person, we might see more nuances. We might see more of what the students are doing and how kind of the room feels if we're there in person. But by their very nature, there are some practices that are more observable than others. And if we think of this in terms of, say, the Danielson framework, typically we're looking at domains 2 and 3 when we're in the classroom in person, right? The classroom environment and instruction. And we're not looking at domains 1 and four quite so much. We don't have direct evidence of those in the classroom. Things about planning and preparation or things like professional responsibility, those are a little bit harder to gain direct evidence of during an observation. So that would be the submerged portion, the underwater 90% of the iceberg. The second axis, the horizontal axis in my diagram here, is what I call zoom. And we can have a tight zoom in the short term, or we can have a long-term zoom. And sometimes we don't quite know how to interpret what we're seeing if we don't have as much perspective on how different aspects of professional practice are playing out over time. For example, relationships with students are something that I would consider very long-term and very wide zoom. If a teacher has a very good relationship with a student, they can get more out of that student when it comes to their work. They can be a little harder on the student in the moment and yet not damage the relationship if that relationship is already strong. So if we're going to observe an interaction in the classroom, it's very helpful for us to have some perspective on those wide zoom, kind of long-term issues that are relevant to that particular short-term observation. And if we look at the nature of some of, say, domain four around professional responsibilities, communicating with families, participating in a professional community, growing and developing professionally, often the short-term and the long-term conflict with each other. Right? If we want to see a perfect lesson with no mistakes in it, well, that might give us a better observation in terms of short zoom, visible things in the moment. But if our goal is to help the teacher, 4E, growing and developing professionally, if we want the teacher to try something new, to take a risk, to explore, to build new capacities, then in the short term, we have to expect that that is going to look different. And it may even look like failure in the short term. But we have to be aware of that 90% of teacher practice that's hidden beneath the surface or that plays out over a longer period of time if we're really going to have the impact on teacher practice that we want to. So think about that metaphor of teacher practice like an iceberg and pull out your journal and think about these questions for just a moment. When you observe in a classroom, what aspects of teacher practice are easy for you to observe? And let's assume that you can get there in person, even if you can't do that right now. When you're observing in a classroom, what's easy to observe? And on the other hand, what aspects of teacher practice are hard to observe? And you may want to look at the Danielson framework or your teacher evaluation rubric to get a little bit of a menu to choose from in terms of the aspects of practice. And then third, what observable evidence gives you some potential insight into teacher thinking? Now, we know that teacher thinking is on the surface invisible, right? Like you can't just walk into a classroom and see teacher thinking directly, but what we can see can give us an entry point into teacher thinking if we then have a conversation about what we saw and use that to gain insight into the invisible thinking. So what observable evidence gives you insight into teacher thinking? That's it for this section. When you've done your journal responses, you are ready to move on to the next section.